This is Phil Davidson, and with me today is Rockford Symphony Orchestra music director Stephen Larson. We are discussing the RSO's Pops 1 concert, Last Night of the Proms, on Saturday, October 26, 7:30 p.m. at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. So, Last Night of the Proms. Now, I am sure we're not talking about high school spring dances here.
No. It's the wrong time of the year for that anyway.
Tell us about the name and when this all started.
Well, this is a distinctly non-American concept. It is very, very British. The proms are both, the word is, the prom is both a noun and a verb, because if you go to the proms, you prom. It gets its name from promenade, an old-fashioned name for concerts where people could stroll around. The promenade concerts took place in parks. But this was an idea that Sir Henry Woods, a famous British conductor, came up with in 1895. He wanted to create a concert series that would bring as many people as possible into a concert hall and expose them to classical music, and not only give them the chance to hear classical music for an affordable price, but also give the orchestras a chance and the conductors a chance to present music that that they think that the people should know about and didn't ordinarily get played a whole lot. So it had two purposes. And this began, Henry Woods began a series of concerts that turned out to be 8 weeks eventually, about 100 performances all total. Each one of these is a proms concert. And the last one of these is, of course, called The Last Night of the Proms. And it takes place at night. We can tell that. But one of the reasons that these are the proms, called the proms, that people walk, is that the nature of the hall where this is performed in, this is Royal Albert Hall in London, which is huge. It holds at least 5,600 people. The main floor and the gallery are standing room only. There are no seats on the main floor. Oh. So people stand and they walk around. They promenade. They prom. This is why it got its name. And the last night of the proms turns out to be a kind of a special event.
And it'll be special, I'm sure, here too. So this, you said this was an 8-week summer series.
Yes.
In London. But Royal Albert Hall, isn't that a rather storied and stuffy type?
Doughty, yes. It is. The original hall was Queen's Hall in London, but that was bombed and completely leveled in 1941 during the Second World War. They had a bust of Sir Henry Woods in Queen's Hall in honor of him starting the prom series. They rescued the bust, and the bust now resides in Royal Albert Hall. So as stuffy as Royal Albert Hall might be in reputation, the proms concerts go a long way to dissipate that stuffy reputation.
Terrific. Now, the people that attend these concerts in London, I believe they're called prommers?
Yes, they are called prommers. Name doesn't register very much in English, but maybe after this concert they will. One of the reasons I wanted to do something like this is that I've watched videos of The Last Night of the Proms, and I thought, this is so much fun. Why do the British get to have all this fun, and we can't have this kind of fun here? We don't have some of the traditions they have, but we can borrow a few. We also can't have people walking around on the main floor because we have seats there. But we can try to be a little bit less stuffy, perhaps, than we usually do, and maybe involve some of the traditions that they have in the last night.
Well, now, the piece has been described as the world's largest and most democratic music festival. Well, right. Why is it described that way?
That was a description by a Czech conductor, guest conductor from one of the year's Last Night of the Proms. And he calls it that because of the variety of people that go to the concert. As I mentioned, there is standing room in the galleries and on the main floor, and it's rather cheap, although tickets are very hard to get. There are the usual boxes and stalls where you can pay hundreds of euros to attend and go there with your, you know, the bankers and the stockbrokers and the landed gentry of London can attend and in comfort. But other people can come, and there's a tremendous socioeconomic depth of strata of people who come to this concert. They come in costume. Sometimes really fantastic costumes, but very often with some patriotic attachment to them. You know, the Union Jack is featured prominently. People waving flags, but they also bring these noisemaker poppers that they and they're encouraged to actually use these at certain points in the concert. It's a great deal of fun. They bob up and down to certain pieces. They sing along, and they just have a lot of fun. It's a range of people that you just wouldn't ordinarily see in a concert hall.
You know, on October 26th, I almost get the feeling that we might see Monty Python show up and Spike Jonze, the way you're describing things. So, well, can you give us an idea
it's approaching Halloween, yes. It's also approaching Brexit. So who knows what might be happening about October 26th. But well, our take on this is we're going to present, in the first half in particular, a whole bunch of great classical and some not so classical popular pieces for orchestra. Some of the light classics, really lively pieces that people just love to listen to and are just fun. We're also going to inject a lot of fun into it. We have a master of ceremonies, Chris Brady, who's the director of the Starlight Theater series, is going to be our master of ceremonies, and he's a genius. This is going to be a lot of fun. The second half, though, we're going to go British and concentrate on more of the British aspect of the last night of the proms, and incorporate some of the traditional pieces that are played at the last night. The concert always ends with Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance March Number 1, with the audience singing along with the trio to Land of Hope and Glory. We're playing the March Jupiter from the Planets, which has that lovely hymn in the middle, which has the words, I vow to thee, my country. We also have a couple of other sing-alongs, which are a little bit less reverential than all this. But it's going to be, the second half is going to be very, very heavily British and going to involve the audience. There are some things, I had to think about this. You know, there are real traditions involved with the last night of the concerts. For instance, the sea songs, which go on for about 10 minutes, and they're very well known in Britain, and there are a whole series of choreographed actions that people do, and they whistle along to part of it, and the poppers are popped at certain sections, and it's at one point they actually insult the conductor or encouraged to insult the conductor. I'm just not sure how that would, if that really makes it across the ocean culturally. So we're not going to do, at least not this year, we won't do the sea songs. But we will do Rule Britannia. And
Chris, gotta do that.
Yeah. Chris Brady is a wonderful tenor, and he's going to lead Rule Britannia. And, of course, and the audience will sing along the chorus, Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves, and Britons never, never, never shall be slaves.
So the audience is literally going to get involved in this concert.
Oh, quite a bit. There would be some sing-alongs in the first half, too.
Well, this just sounds like a barrel of fun, so.
Yeah, I hope people come dressed in costumes as they see fit. They can bob up and down if they want to, but they're going to have to stand to do that because we have seats.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be, we're all going to let our hair down a little bit, those of us who have it, and really try to have fun, but while listening to some really wonderful music.
Oh, I can hardly wait. I'm certainly going to be there. I don't know about costume, but I'm going to be there. and, you know, we should remind, even though we do this every time. We should remind everyone about sound bites.
Right.
Can you?
I tell you, if you missed the last sound bites with Alexander Hirsch, you missed something. Not only as you, if you were at the performance, you were wowed by him as a cellist. He is very, very funny, very engaging. It was a wonderful experience. People still, I run into people who were there and they just rave about that and say, why weren't, you know, that room should have been just jam-packed, overflowing with people. They would have loved it. Well, they certainly would have. He was a delightful person, incredible cellist, and I'm looking forward to having him back again.
Well, sound bites happens before every performance?
No, before the classical concerts.
Before the classic.
Yeah, we don't have them before Pops concerts. Maybe we should, but not this one anyway. So the next sound bites will be on November 8th, Friday, November 8th, before our Mozart's last year concert, and that will be we'll have our clarinet soloist there featured at that, and we'll talk about other things too.
Well, I know I'm ready to have some fun on October 26th, and so everyone out there, why don't you join me for the last night of the proms at the Coronado Performing Arts Center on Saturday?
Keep calm and show up.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. Saturday, October 26th, but you won't be calm when you get there.
No.
At 7:30 p.m. during the Rockford Symphony Orchestra's Pops One concert. And for more information about this concert, sound bites, and more, go to rockfordsymphony.com or call 815-965-0049. This is Phil Davidson.
And this is Steve Larson.
Thank you for listening.